Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, and I'm very happy to say welcome to an NBA playoff edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As we've been talking about all year, the pursuit of the playoffs has been the key goal for this Grizzlies team the entire year, and as improbable as you may have thought it would have been for them to make the playoffs, here they are. And even if you think it's even more improbable that they're going to be able to pursue an NBA championship, that is the clear focus that is on the mind of this Grizzlies team as they are ready to start game one of their playoff series against the Utah Jazz. It's going to be a very, very tough task for this Grizzlies team to be able to overcome the Jazz to be able to move to the next round. In fact, let's be honest, it may not be likely, but that doesn't mean that all this Grizzlies team needs is a chance. They've created their own chances all year, and as we can see with the level that they've reached, all they ever need is truly just a chance, and they can make the most of it. In the first segment, we'll talk about their opponent, the Utah Jazz, just what makes them such a strong opponent in this playoff-type setting. In the second and third segment, we'll discuss the Grizzlies on offense, what they're going to have to do to find success. In the third segment, what they're going to have to do to find success defensively. They're going to have to play at a high level each and every game in order to be able to be competitive with the Jazz. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever it's available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the Odyssey app, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, that's where we will be. My name's Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you once again. Been doing this all season, my first season at the helm on Locked On Grizzlies, and it's been a wonderful ride that I hope just continues to keep on going. It's a pleasure being able to talk about the Grizzlies, the NBA, and sports in general because I'm passionate about all those things, but even better is the fact that I cherish the opportunity to bring you all the latest news, insight, perspectives, and happenings when it comes to the Grizzlies, your Grizzlies, every day via the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. And we also want to remind you of our title sponsor, and that is the Locked On Podcast Network's coverage of the NBA playoffs, which are here. So don't miss the big storylines and team previews you can find every day on the Locked On NBA podcast. Follow the Locked On NBA podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So when it comes to the Utah Jazz, let's make no mistake about it. This is a very, very talented, deep team. There is a reason why they were the best team in the NBA this year, and then the number one team in the Western Conference. And the best thing about it is, in my opinion, for them being in a small market, for them being without a true top 10 headlining superstar, is the reason why they've done it is because they are so balanced and so deep with quality talent that the floor that they play at every night, with the ability to frequently reach their ceiling, is absolutely remarkable, and that's what makes them so consistent and also so consistently tough to beat, both defensively and offensively. This team arguably has been in the top five all year long, and of course the calling card for this team is their ability to both shoot the three and make the three. They average over nearly 17 threes per game on 43 attempts at a nearly 38% clip. One of the most productive three-point shooting teams in terms of a per-game basis in NBA history. And the thing about it is that the depth that they have, no matter what position that you look at, besides obviously the center position, but Rudy Gobert does just fine. We'll get into that in just a second. But they are so deep. Six different players regularly are productive from the three-point line. Bojan Bogdanovic, Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Joe Ingles, Jordan Clarkson, Royce O'Neal. Each and every one of those guys can comfortably shoot the three to five, even more times per game, and make it. Any one of those guys are prone to having a very good game from three and producing it, and that's why this team is so consistently good at being able to score from distance. But of course, the one player I didn't mention on the ability to shoot the three is Rudy Gobert, who himself does appear to where he's going to win yet another Defensive Player of the Year just because of how dominant he is at the rim. We talk about when it comes to team defense, what makes a lot of post players good. Good post defenders, Joel Embiid, Draymond Green, others. What makes them Bam Adebayo, what makes them so good is their team defense, their ability to help. Rudy Gobert's a bit different. Yes, he can provide help defense, but the way that he helps his teammate is from his individual production. No one player is to the level of Gobert when it comes to being a force in the paint and just absolutely taking it over and making it absolutely a nightmare for teams to get into the paint. And for that reason, that is why Gobert is once again seems to be the clear front runner for the Defensive Player of the Year award in the NBA this season. But that speaks to what stands out about this Utah team. Again, no true offensive superstar. I don't think anybody would say maybe even a top 15 player. You possibly could say Gobert or Donovan Mitchell are that, but this Utah team is a collection of talents. They're a lot like the Detroit Pistons when they won the title back in 2004, previously the Detroit Pistons during the Bad Boy era. You don't have one singular superstar that is on this team, but you have a collection of 7 or 8, of perhaps the top 100 or 125 players who play so well on both offense and defense. And they're so deep as well. There's a reason why the Utah Jazz have 2 of the 3 finalists for the Sixth Man of the Year candidate in Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles. The best combination of bench players in the league play for the Utah Jazz. So it's not only that their depth is there. A lot of teams have depth like the Grizzlies do. It's the quality of that depth. And it's the fact that 6 of their top 7 players are very effective shooting the three and also playing together to defend the three, and that absolutely is the key. We talked about that for the Grizzlies this year a lot. That's where they were going to have to improve to take the next step, was their ability to shoot and defend the three. They did it well enough to make the playoffs. Well, now they're going to be playing the team in the NBA that does it the best and most consistently is elite at both defending and shooting the three, and that's what stands out about this Utah team. Of course, there are a couple of other narratives that certainly stand out. Obviously, that one thing this year that was not there last year in the bubble for this Jazz team, when Donovan Mitchell had such an electric performance in the bubble, was that Bojan Bogdanovic is back into the equation. A source of 20 points almost every given night, another source shooting the three, a bigger body as well that knows how to use his body on defense. He is certainly a welcome addition this time through the playoffs for this Jazz team. But because Bogdanovic was out last year, it was Donovan Mitchell who had to take over and basically was a one-man show for this offensive team. This year, though, one of the narratives that is there coming to the series that is very critical for the Jazz and Grizzlies is the health of Donovan Mitchell. He's been out since April 16th with an ankle injury. This will be his first game back in 16 games. Now, with the level of player that he is, probably has mainly just gotten rest over the past month to be as good a shape as he can be for the playoffs. But the thing is that if he comes out rusty, obviously he's probably going to have to be guarded by Dylan Brooks, which is not going to make things any easier. That's something that's going to allow for Mitchell to be able, or for the Grizzlies perhaps, to be able to be in some of these early games if Mitchell was to start out, you know, rusty, which, you know, wouldn't surprise many because of how long he certainly has been out. His health will certainly be a storyline, the same with Mike Conley. But of course, that's where we turn our attention to, is the fact that there's so many fun narratives that are there with the Grizzlies making the playoffs and what many hope is the start of basically the third version of a Grizzlies era in their franchise history that will be there in the playoffs on a consistent basis. You had the mid-2000s, the grit and grind era, obviously now Grizz next gen. The thing is, Mike Conley was the face of this franchise, arguably, during their playoff run. He was the catalyst for the offense. Well, now, the catalyst that's there, the most important player for this Grizzlies team, Ja Morant, will be facing and likely going one-on-one a lot of times with the former face of the franchise in Mike Conley. Yes, there's certainly wonderful narratives. Yes, obviously, Mike Conley has already acknowledged it's special for him to know that in the year that he likely has been playing some of his best basketball in his career and possibly is going to have the best chance at a title in his career with the Utah Jazz, his first step towards getting that title run going, hopefully, is against his former teams in the Memphis Grizzlies. So there's obviously going to be some emotion. There's going to be some fun there. But I tell you this, though this Grizzlies team is certainly going to be respectful of Mike Conley, though there clearly is going to be respect throughout this entire series, at the end of the day, those narratives mean very little. Coach Jenkins said it himself yesterday. Just being frank, there's not a lot of concern or care that's thrown to those narratives. The focus for this Grizzlies team is continuing their good play to create another opportunity, an unexpected opportunity, for them to make a deep run in this playoffs and have a chance at a title. You never know what the future hold, so the best thing to do is make the best of what's in the present, and that's the focus of this Grizzlies team. One day, one game at a time. At the end of the day, yes, it's very unlikely they're going to move past the Jazz, but this team has shown that there should not be any reason to doubt they will make this a competitive series. But it's going to have to start with them playing consistently elite at their potential when it comes to their offensive schemes against the Jazz. Coming up, we're going to discuss what the Grizzlies are going to need to do on offense, some of it similar to what they did Friday night, for them to find success against a very disciplined and talented Jazz defensive team unit. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? There is, and if you take 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. It's one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and in meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. Obviously, the summer is right around the corner, and of course, that means we want to be out more, enjoying the weather and things such as that. Well, of course, a way for us to do that is continue to get healthier ourselves. Now, if running marathons or biking 50 miles is your way of doing that, by all means, please continue. But there also are small yet significant steps that are easy to commit to on the routine for you to be able to get healthier as well. One of the best ways to do that is by introducing a great-tasting protein bar to your day known as Built Bar. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar out there on the market. You can have it in the morning for breakfast, in the afternoon as a snack. Whenever you choose to enjoy it, it's going to be a great part of your day because it tastes great with plenty of health benefits. Over 18 different flavors to choose from are over at BuiltBar.com, so whatever your taste preference is, it's likely to be met. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you put in the promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. Again, that's going to BuiltBar.com, putting in the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order from Built Bar. So the Memphis Grizzlies will head to Utah tonight to take on the Utah Jazz. Now, one thing that has been, you know, certainly is a very, you know, important factor in this is the difference in rest that these two teams will have. And that certainly is something that comes into play in terms of the Grizzlies' ability to play offense effectively against this Jazz team. The Jazz have had 7 days off since their last game before tonight's game, the start of their playoff pursuit, the start of what they hope is a title run with how talented this Jazz team is. For the Grizzlies, they will be playing their 7th game in 13 days. But the thing that I will say is this, is that one benefit of making the NBA playoffs versus the play-in tournament for this Grizzlies team is that tonight they'll be playing in Utah, obviously, before Game 2 will occur on Wednesday night. But since they get to wait till Wednesday for Game 2, this Grizzlies team, though they've played plenty of games, and obviously Salt Lake City is not the easiest place to play with its high altitude, the one thing I will say is that this Grizzlies team does know they will have nearly 3 full days of rest and relaxation, getting their bodies right after Game 1. So that's probably a little bit more motivation for them to leave it all out on the line as much as they can against the Jazz. But beyond the fatigue level, The thing that stands out about this Grizzlies team is that they're going to have to hit on a lot of, they're going to hit a lot of high notes when it comes to their offense. This Grizzlies team is going to have to consistently perform to the best level that it can in many different areas to be able to beat the Jazz in four games over seven total opportunities to make it to the next round. Now, obviously, that starts with Ja Morant. Ja Morant against the Utah Jazz back in March, he became only the third player since the start of the 2019-2020 season to have multiple 30-point games against this Jazz team. He joined Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal, two of the best perimeter scorers in the league. But of course, Morant, his opportunity was that he was able to get into the lane, found a lot of success getting into the lane, even with Rudy Gobert being there to guard him and being there as someone to stifle the stifle tower, I believe his name is. But Rudy Gobert, even with him in that paint, Ja Morant was not afraid at all. He was able to go into the lane and find success. Well, the thing about it is this, is that just like we saw at the end of the playoff pursuit for the Grizzlies in the bubble last year, and as we saw from teams in the play-in tournament, the Warriors and the Spurs this past week, it's going to be pretty logical that the Jazz are going to do what they need to do to prevent Ja Morant from getting into the lane. They're going to make Ja Morant be able to beat them by shooting the basketball. But the thing about it is this, is that with how disciplined this Utah Jazz team is and how much they trust Rudy Gobert in the paint, just because they're going to provide Ja Morant the opportunity to shoot the three, I don't think he's going to have as much space as was highlighted, especially in that ESPN broadcast against the Warriors. I don't think there's going to be that much space because this Utah team knows that if Ja gets behind them into the lane, they've still got Rudy back there as a way to be able to stifle Morant's opportunities in the lane. So two things stand out for Ja Morant. Number one, he's got to be able to hit shots. But number two, another thing that really will be helpful against this Jazz team is the Grizzlies' ability to pass in the paint. If Gobert comes up and challenges, reading that quickly to make a quick dump off to maybe Jonas Valanciunas or Jaren or Xavier or who's ever playing, that is going to be a big, big critical factor for this Grizzlies team in their ability to attack the paint when they get the opportunity to, in order to counter what Rudy Gobert does at the in the lane. Other thing that stands out about this is, of course, Jonas Valanciunas himself. Now, Jonas played in all three games against the Jazz in March. He basically averaged about 15 points and 15 rebounds per game. He's going to get his rebounds. Now, I don't think he's going to get as many offensive rebound opportunities with just how good this Jazz team is at rebounding and obviously how good Gobert is himself. I do think, though, that Jonas will consistently at least be a source of double-double contributions. The thing that I think will be harder to rely on him to do is it will be harder to rely on him to provide the level of play that the Grizzlies needed on Sunday or a week ago against Golden State and Wednesday night against the Spurs. I don't think we're going to see many 20-point nights from Jonas Valanciunas. So I feel like this Grizzlies team basically needs to prepare for Jonas to provide the production that he did like he did on Friday night, which to me is why Friday night was so big. The Grizzlies were able to win an elimination game without Jonas being what they had needed for him to be in the previous two games before Friday night. Jonas is still going to make his contributions. He's still going to provide plenty of production. But I do think it's more going to be contributing with 12 to 15 points, 12 to 15 rebounds a night than him for some reason taking over as a main scorer for this Grizzlies team. But of course, that is something also that means more possessions, instead of ending up in Jonas's hands, will need to end up on the outside. The Grizzlies are going to have to shoot the three well. That just absolutely is a standout must in this series against the Utah Jazz. The way that the Grizzlies were able to almost come back and beat the Jazz in two of the three games that they played them in March is because in that first game, I believe the Grizzlies made 15 threes, but also limited the Jazz from shooting the three well themselves. We'll talk about that in the last segment of the show. But the thing about it is this, is that it's not against the Jazz. It's not just the opposing team. It's not just the Grizzlies shooting 35 to 43s a night. That's not the goal. The reason why that is because against this Jazz team, it's not necessarily that you shoot a lot of threes, it's that you consistently find good looks from three. In the 23 games this year that the Jazz allowed opponents to shoot 35 or more threes, the Jazz were 18-5. But when an opponent against the Jazz was able to attempt 25 or more threes and make 40% or better from three against the Jazz were only 8-7. The key for this Grizzlies team is to find balance. Morant being able to shoot in the lane, their floaters falling, Jonas Valanciunas and Jaren Jackson Jr. being able to produce in the lane. Produce in the lane and then use their elite passing ability to find the threes. The Grizzlies are likely going to have to at least shoot 30 threes a night. There's no doubt about that. But they need, as many of them as possible, need to be high percentage looks. That's what stands out as a clear need for this Grizzlies team. It's not just shooting the threes to shoot them for the frequency of them against the Jazz. It's finding as many high percentage looks from three as possible that really needs to stand out. And of course, the last thing that also needs to stand out offensively for this Grizzlies team, they're going to have to be able to trust their depth. Now, that's not just in terms of the bench. It's also in terms of Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. is the one difference between this Grizzlies team now and what they had against the Jazz. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s ability to be a secondary post presence for the Grizzlies to rely upon at times and be able to potentially play the five in this series to back up Jonas, that's a huge benefit for this Grizzlies team because him as a pick and pop option, a lot of the times the Jazz, with how much they'll focus on Ja and with how their defensive rotations go, that could leave some opening opportunities out there. And if Jaren can effectively be used as a movement shooter to find the soft spots on the perimeter to get good looks from three, that really can stand out, especially if Gobert were to be the one to have to go out and guard him. So obviously Jaren Jackson Jr. as an alternate post source, a big source, can be to the Grizzlies' advantage, though he will certainly have to be at a higher level of consistent play than he has been. But the other big thing about it for this Grizzlies team, they've got to be able to feature their best shooters. After those three losses to the Jazz at the end of March, the one thing that stood out about this Grizzlies team in April was that they went on for much of April to be either the top or in the top five of the NBA in shooting the three. And the reason why is because basically you were seeing double of the three-point attempts between Brooks and Melton and Bane and Allen than they had seen in March. The Grizzlies are going to have to put together a game plan that's really going to feature getting good looks. That's what made the difference in overtime against the Warriors. If the Grizzlies can do that, not only does it mean they're getting the three-point production that they need to from their best shooters, it also means that the Grizzlies' bench is being productive. And obviously, as I mentioned in the first segment, they're going to have to do that consistently to counter the fact that the Jazz have the best combination of bench players in the league. So obviously, Ja Morant staying effective. He may not score 30 every night, but if he could be a solid source between assists and points of at least 45 to 50 points a night, that's going to be a huge boost. Jonas is going to be his double-double self, but I don't think you can rely on him to be a source of 25 a night. And after that, the Grizzlies are certainly going to have to shoot the three, and they're going to have to do it through their bench by featuring their best bench shooters several times during this series. A lot is there for this Grizzlies team to take on. A lot's going to have to be done at a high level, but they certainly can do it. And one last thing to think about for this Grizzlies team, the Jazz this season in the NBA, the highest they were when it came to preventing second chance, fast break, points off turnovers, and points in the paint, the highest the Jazz were in any of those four categories was 11th in terms of limiting their opposition. The Grizzlies' ability to do the hustle plays, points off turnovers, fast break points, second chance points, points in the paints, that is an area where this Jazz team is susceptible. If the Grizzlies can play with high energy, obviously that'll benefit them as well. But this is on one side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, while the Grizzlies may have many things that they've got to hit on when it comes to their offense or improve on, this Grizzlies defense did show it had the ability to at least at times, limit this Jazz offense when it came to their ability to defend the three. Coming up, we'll discuss how important that's going to be in this series when it comes to the Grizzlies playing defense against a very talented and methodical Jazz offense. you're the hiring expert for your company. And what you really need is help making your short list of quality candidates. You need a hiring partner whose help makes your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that requires hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, and interview all on Indeed. Get your quality short list of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule and complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skills tests that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests and add your must-have requirements, so you only pay for applications that meet them. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all your other job sites combined. If you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. So obviously when it comes to this Grizzlies Jazz setup, another thing that I'll mention that I did not mention in the second segment is that the Grizzlies are going to have to make three free throws. They did very well in that game against the Warriors, but we've seen many times down the stretch, especially in that Spurs game this past Wednesday, where games were closer or games were simply lost by the Grizzlies because they cannot hit free throws, especially late. They're going to have to hit free throws. The Grizzlies love to play in transition. That's one difference between these two teams when it comes to their offensive pursuits. The Grizzlies love to get out on the run because that's what plays to the strengths of their roster. The Jazz prefer the ability to do things in the half court because of the methodical and highly efficient play that they have with a lot of veterans and a lot of very precise passing or skilled passers and shooters. But it starts with the pick and roll. When it comes to this Jazz offense, they run the pick and roll offense. They run the pick and roll for their ball handler more than any other team in the NBA. And the thing about it is that that's really where this Grizzlies team is going to have to pay special attention to defending well. A lot of it has to do with recovery, either going over the screens to stay with the ball handler, whoever it is, Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, whoever it may be, going around the screens, recovering, whatever it may be. Because then, when that creates the space needed for this Jazz team, they have so many different things they could do with that space. You've got the ability for Conley or Mitchell to be able to shoot the three, which they both do effectively. You have the ability for both of them to pass to an open shooter, and that starts the ball movement that the Jazz are so good at. They remind me of the Spurs back during the peak of the Popovich-Duncan eras with the Spurs. Just the ability to pass around the perimeter to find the open guy until the defense just wears out because it can't rotate anymore. All those things start with how effective this Jazz team runs the pick and roll. So the pick and roll defense is something that's really going to have to stand out for this Grizzlies team. And of course, being able to do that is staying disciplined defensively. And it's not just the pick and roll ball handler. And why it's so important for whoever is guarding the pick and roll ball handler, switching obviously is very, very needed. But one of the reasons why it's going to be hard, especially if the Jazz start to try to isolate Jonas Valanciunas or big man or another big man to wind up switching to a guard, is that if that happens, the Jazz are also highly efficient with Rudy Gobert. They were second in the league when it came to the pick and roll man shooting off pick and roll action in the league, because Gobert is very, very effective with his footwork of being there as a lob threat, getting into the lane for an easy basket. Derek Favors is the same way. This Jazz team is no slouch when it comes to being able to find correct passes to make in order to get good looks in the paint. So defending the pick and roll well and knowing when to effectively switch and when to not based off the recovery of the initial defender on the pick and roll ball handler, that's going to really play a part into this Grizzlies team. If they could stay disciplined, switch effectively, but also recover well, that's going to minimize the matchups that you don't like defending the Jazz, and it's also going to allow for there to be, the Jazz are going to have to make quicker decisions, which could lead to more turnovers and not as much time for them to develop the plays that they're looking to play. But that's just one aspect of this Jazz team. The other, obviously, is defending the three. The Jazz are just simply arguably the deepest and best team at shooting the three. Perhaps the Clippers are right there with them. But this Jazz team, as I mentioned, between Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, Conley, Mitchell, Clarkson, and Ingles, six guys who play 20 to 25 minutes or more each night that can any night shoot very well from three, and if several of them do it on any given night, they're so hard to beat. That's going to obviously have to be another focus of this Grizzlies team, is staying disciplined, not being caught out of position, not being too over aggressive, not eliminating themselves from play when it comes to closeouts. They're going to have to remain disciplined. Allowing for corner threes to be, you know, given up just because, you know, you want to be there for the rebound. Unfortunately, you can't do that for the Jazz. You have to contest as many three-point shots as possible. That's going to require energy, but it's also going to require effort. And so with that in mind, this Grizzlies team is going to have to defend the three well, obviously. Now, if through defending the three, this Jazz team were to start to find highly successful shots from inside the arc, that's kind of one thing that you're okay with. You know, you feel like this Grizzlies team, especially if Jaren Jackson Jr. and Jonas are on the court together and are playing effectively, you kind of are okay with them trading in twos instead of shooting so many threes because they're so good at shooting the three. So if the Grizzlies are defending the three well, and this Jazz team just winds up still winning, taking the lead or winning the game because they just effectively shot from two, there's a reason why they're a better team on paper than the Grizzlies. It's because they're going to be able to counterpunch what the Grizzlies can do through their offensive schemes more than what the Grizzlies can do on offense. That's no insult to the Grizzlies. That's just where the Jazz are on their competitive timeline. So the key for this Grizzlies defense is obviously guarding the pick and roll effectively, staying disciplined, and contesting as much threes as possible for this Jazz team, not getting caught out of position when it comes to the ball rotations of the Jazz. Keeping an eye on Gobert as the pick and roll role man because he's very, very good. And just, you know, picking your poison, basically. If the Grizzlies can defend the pick and roll well, and they can, you know, maybe 7 to 10 times each game allow for the Jazz to, instead of shooting the three, because the Grizzlies are contesting the threes well, the Jazz have to play off the three to get into the arc and maybe into the lane to take shots. You kind of live with that if you're the Grizzlies. In the two games that the Grizzlies played the Jazz well, back in March, they held them to under, I believe, 35% from three in both those games. If the Grizzlies can consistently do that, that'll give them the chance to win. But at the end of the day, what this simply comes down to is the three-point ball. The Grizzlies are going to have to shoot it well, and they're also going to have to defend it well. If they can do those things, and also they can find success through transition, second chance points, points in the paint, getting points off turnovers, getting points on the fast break, if the Grizzlies can have their usual advantages in that area, get the possession edge in their favor, and both shoot and defend the three well, not necessarily shooting 40 times a game, but finding as many high-percentage three-point shots as possible, that's what will give them a chance in the series. It's going to be much, much easier, harder to do than to say. It's much easier said than done, in other words. But this Grizzlies team has shown the capability of doing it. If they can play to the level that they did on Friday night, they do have an opportunity to be able to at least win a few of these games, and especially if they could steal one of these first two games and then get home and with their crowd behind them steal another, then you're potentially looking at multiple wins by game four, and that's really when this series could get interesting. Not likely, but if this Grizzlies team can play like they did Friday night, I say they steal at least one, maybe even two games in this series. It's going to take the Grizzlies playing excellent basketball. They played their best basketball since Taylor Jenkins has been out, since Taylor Jenkins has been our coach. This Grizzlies team played their best basketball in the 3 weeks that followed immediately after their three games against the Jazz back in March. Whatever adjustments the Grizzlies made then, especially to shooting and defending the three, if they can apply those now, they could get good results in this series. Of course, we're going to be here with you all week, breaking down all the action that happens every single game. That's what we're here for, your Grizzlies every day. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz on Twitter, myself at StatsSAC. My name's Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure doing this for you once again, the playoff preview versus the Utah Jazz. Hope you enjoy the game tonight. Hopefully, the Grizzlies can shock the world once again and get a much-needed Game 1 victory. Don't forget, 10 years ago, when the Grizzlies were the 8th seed and the San Antonio Spurs were the first seed. The key to the Grizzlies winning that series was them taking game one on the road, and it shocked everybody. If the Grizzlies can do that once again, their chances of making noise in this playoff series obviously significantly improve. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon tomorrow here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.